subject this afternoon. Too good for the church. Too good for the church. There is no I in team. Yea, well, there is no we either. That's the common attitude of our society. Don't believe it. Watch a football game or a basketball game or a soccer match. And more times than not, the elite players are about themselves. Just look at the cliques in grade school. It's not something that just started. Many of you can relate to me when I was in grade school. I was never chosen president of the class. I was never chosen to be on a particular team. You know, I didn't dress properly, and my hair was long because we didn't have money to go to the barber. My pants had holes in it. But now, some of y'all buy them that way. I ain't figured that out, but I'm too old to try to figure that out anyway. But my subject, Christianity is the opposite of self-promotion. What Christianity is self-denial. When I want to lay in bed on Sunday morning, Christianity tells me to get up.
Amen.
When I want to keep some money to buy something I want, Christianity said, remember you're missing fun. And we go on and on. I was trying to think before we started, but I don't mind the people on Facebook or Sermon Auto hearing this. If you got any extra money, we'll take it. We voted years ago that 10% of our offerings went to mission work. That's in a church ministry. 10% of what I make belongs to God. I believe 10% of what we bring in should go to mission work. So God has been good to us. So when we voted to purchase the video equipment, I could do it. I just did it yesterday for a few years. We haven't spent 10% of our offerings on mission work. So when we do sermon audio, we put a piece in the paper. We shouldn't have to vote on that because we voted on it years ago that 10% of what this church brings in goes to mission work. You know, sometimes you make these statements and you go back and you read and say, well, I was thinking how I was going to present that to the church, and it was already taken care of years ago. But I believe that. I believe that, and I could. So we had an offering today of $1,025. That means approximately $6 is mission work. So, you know, instead of $135, it'd be $440. And that's the way it ought to be. Because God said you need to be faithful in all things. But Christianity is the opposite of self-promotion. It is self-denial. Now, if we look in our Bibles in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 34. Mark 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, we say that what we just said previously because I believe that yard sales and bake sales and pen sales and any other kind of sales to bring in money to the church is unscriptural and God will not bless it. If I'm the proper leadership, we will never lead the church to do something that we cannot afford. Never. But sadly, even among professing Christians, his attitude of me first often abounds. In every poll in most recent history, the gap between those professing to believe in God of the Bible and those committed to regular weekly attendance in a local church has widened. Many people who profess faith in Jesus are convinced that they can do all on their own without any help from anyone else. I don't think our church or any church realizes the value of prayer. I believe in prayer. I believe in that prayer box back there. And I find it an unexcusable sin that when we, as the membership of Amarillo Baptist Church, can't take out a second or two in our prayer and say, Lord, would you remember the names in the prayer box? I don't know what they are. I don't know who wrote them, but you do. Can you imagine what would happen if 30 people was to pray every day that God would heal my wife? Amen. Amen. Can you imagine what a difference that would make? Not only her, but all of you. How that Sister Shirley struggles. Literally struggles to be here. Do you pray for her? I mean, get out and pray for her. Do you pray for Sister Indiana? Many people who profess faith in Jesus are convinced they can do it all on their own. It is the fruit of a spoiled society. Worse yet, it is often the fruit of an unconverted soul. Membership in a church means that you are most likely not going to be in church leadership. Think about that. What if everybody was an Indian chief and you had no warriors? Most likely, everybody that signed with UK is not going to graduate ready for pro. But they're needed. The bench is needed. So, many people think, with my leadership skill, with my ability, and they don't use me. Well, there's a job for all of us. Sometimes the supporting cast is what really makes the difference. But membership in a church means that you are most likely not going to be a church leader. I mean, what I mean is not everybody can be a song leader. Not everybody can be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody can be whatever, but everybody's needed. Because God doesn't add to this church or any other church a person that he does not plan to use. What capacity? You know, that's where we have all of this stuff that, you know, a few churches in Scythiana, some of you will know what I'm talking about. Started out with one big church. Then there was two. Then there was three. And there was four. And most of them have been members of all four of those, trying to find a place where they can be an ending sheep. We need warriors. We need warriors. See, everybody cannot be a church elder. As the old adage goes, you can have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Most church members are going to be lay people. But if you didn't have lay people, you wouldn't need a pastor. If you didn't have lay people, you wouldn't need a song leader. I can't imagine Scott getting up leading singing when there's nobody here. Or Linda saying, what song we're going to sing today? When there's nobody singing. But the fact that we do have a song leader, the fact we do have a piano player, means that God has placed some people in the pews to make that joyful noise. Amen. And together, it goes up to heaven as a sweet-smelling Savior. Amen. So, let's be clear. It is God that raises up those church leaders. It is God that gifts men for leadership. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Note with me in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians. You know, when you look here, this is a church letter, which we all know. This is written to the church at Ephesus. And in chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the word perfect means mature. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men of cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Your church leaders have been given to you by God Himself. Now, let me give you an example. I said this morning I was going to go make a visit. And depending on how that visit was, I would want one of the men to go with me. Now, I could pick the man, but it happened better. One of the men came and said, Pastor, I'll go with you. That's how it works. That's how it works. Because, see, if the pastor picked that man, there could be one member having a bad day. I know he wouldn't pick me. See, we're a unit. Not everybody can be a song leader, but everybody can sing. You say, Pastor, I can't sing. Can you talk? You can sing. You say, but I can't sing in tune. It's never stopped me. You remember when Brother Bobby and I would sing, and he said, Pastor, could you go up an octave. Is it what it's called, octave? Something, I don't know what it was. I said, sure. He started playing. I sang the same way. And he just shake his head. You know, why? I didn't know what he's talking about. I sang out of the heart, out of my feelings. I don't know where I'm supposed to go up or low. I sang because I enjoy singing, and I sang to the glory of God, whether anybody else likes it or not. See, but to come to my defense, I sang the very best I can. And my former pastor told me, and Tom Sutherland said, as long as y'all living, I won't be the worst song leader. I won't be the worst singer. He was right. I think Tom's probably worse than I was, but, you know, I don't know. But the fact that we serve God out of a heart of love, because I want to do that. Not recognizing some things. See, we're here to serve God. And what I want, and I hope she means it, but my, give you an example, my daughter and granddaughter was picking, trying to get something out for my wife for her birthday, and Caitlin knew what it was, but she wasn't supposed to tell what she was and what it was. And, you know, and she told my daughter, she said, I couldn't lie to Pepaw and Nanny. I couldn't live with myself to lie to Pepaw and Nanny. You know, you can respect that. You know, what is that on my part, on Nanny's part? She's seen something in us that she respects. We respect members that said, here am I, send me. Here am I. God said in 3 John, verse 9 and 10. John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diaphras, who loved to have preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I came, I will remember his deeds, which he doth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, for neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbid of them that would, and cast of them out of the church. What I've simply said so far, and it won't be very, very long, we're a team. We simply do not know all the ways that Diaphras was opposing the leadership place in the church by God. But we know it was distraction from the gospel. And that's why that, as pastor, I've always said, you can come to me, you can disagree with me on anything you choose, and I will listen to you. I ask one thing. You do it in private. You're going to disagree with me in front of your fellow members, and we got problems. We got some serious problems. Because that shows you have no respect for yourself nor me. Amen. And it won't happen.
That's right.
Absolutely will not happen. You may go in mouthing, but I will walk off. And you'll know why I walk off. Such opposition is extremely common in our society. If I don't agree with you, whether facts or not, I'll talk to other people about you. We don't do that. Now let me be clear here. If church leaders are misleading the church by preaching heresy, they should be opposed. If I'm preaching something that's not in the Word of God, you are to come to me privately and I'll give you my word. I will listen to you. And if you prove to me I'm wrong, I will change it. You can't ask any more than that from your pastor, whoever he is. Much opposition is to church leadership stems from the culture of pride we have in our spoiled society. You're not in high school anymore. You're not in college. You're one of God's sheep. He's placed a shepherd over you. And we as a team should follow God. Much of the resistance to biblical church leaders is simply, I've always headed my way. And I gave somebody a while back, he said, but you always get what you want. That was very hurtful to me, but I got over it. What it was, I said, when we had a vote on the church name, if I had my way, Ammon Road Baptist would go off and Lighthouse Baptist would go up. But the majority wanted to keep Ammon Road, and I did not say a word. Because I believe the majority rules. And you as a member, and you have done, I'm glad I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm giving some information for the future, maybe, when I'm gone, when somebody else is here. When the team or the church body is divided, the devil wins. Not God. So there is more to accountability in a local church than submitting to the eldership. However, members are accountable to one another as well. And that really don't go. And any time I preach on that, I've got to bring up one of my old warriors that's in heaven today. Y'all remember Sister Reed? Some of the girls, because they want to dress the way everybody else dresses, you know, and their blouses and stuff are too low and their skirts are too high. And Sister Reed would always bring her scarf or sweater over there and put it on their legs and said, you know, you keep that on until church is over. And you know what, the only one that would get upset about that? Yeah, you're right, the parents. Because the parents was out of order. Because if the parents was in order, you would let your daughter come to the house of God with part of your breast showing and too much of your leg. Those things cause division. So you got to be careful how you handle them. Because you ain't telling my daughter how to dress. No. God did that, so I don't have to do something that God already did. And they said, show that in the Bible. I'm glad to. When I mean it is the first step of church discipline, more often than not, going to begin with a lay person, someone not in a position of leadership in the church that wants to be a leader. And if I was there in leadership, that problem wouldn't have happened. I like self-confidence on you, but you can carry it way too far. Notice what God said in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. God said in Matthew 18 and verse 15. Notice what God said. He said here in Matthew the 18th chapter and the 15th verse. God said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. What does that mean? It means exactly what it said. If you got a problem with me, You don't go to my wife and tell her. You don't go to Sister Brenda and tell her. It's between me and you. So, well, but if I do that, I may lose my friend. God's blessed you. God said, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You know why? That person will say, sister or brother, I didn't realize you loved me that much. You came to me, you handled it right. I thank you. I thank God for you. But you're not assured all the time that's going to happen. And the flesh says, everything is going pretty smooth, except God is holding blessings because every little thing that should have been taken care of wasn't taken care of. So we got to learn how to handle things properly. God said, but if thou shalt not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. You always, when they don't hear the first time, you got to take a witness with you. Brother Bill used to tell me that don't ever go visiting by yourself. And me and him went together. Knocked on this house and the lady let us in. We talked about 10 minutes and she said, excuse me, I'll be right back. And Brother Bill looked at me and he said, this ain't going to be good. And she came back in with a nightgown on that only her husband ought to have seen. And Brother Bill didn't say a word. He said, Brother Vance, let's go. It ain't because Brother Bill was good looking or I was good looking. That's the devil. That lady said, all right, devil, enter me and I will be your servant. God tells us here in Matthew 18. And he said, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall not like to hear them, tell it unto the church. This is the process of church discipline. We have people that say, I don't believe in it. Then disagree with God. I didn't say it. If we do it according to the word of God, God said, I'll bless you. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever he shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever he shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. God said, what? He'll bless it. What he's saying? You do it right? He'll bless you. Being a church member doesn't only require you to submit to other people. It will require you to set your American pride aside. I say that for our Facebook leaders. Don't get on Facebook and tell the world you are a member of Amarillo Baptist Church and then say something you shouldn't say. You said, I've got the freedom to do that. You're hurting the church. And several of you have said things that shouldn't have been on the church web. You know. I want every Muslim to be saved. Because if God saved them, listen to me, Muslim friends. If God saved you, you won't longer be a Muslim. I was a lost person when God saved me, I was no longer lost. I was a Presbyterian by name until God saved me. Now I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
While you're a Baptist, that's what Jesus was.
Amen.
I belong to a Baptist church. Why? That's what Jesus started. I don't have no problem saying that. I don't have no problem proclaiming that. People ask me, was you preaching in a Catholic church? In a heartbeat.
Right.
Was you preaching a Muslim mass? In a heartbeat. But you'll never see one behind this pulpit as long as I'm pastor. Being a church member doesn't only require you to submit to other people, it also require you to set your American pride aside. It will require you to stop looking at yourself as a self-made person. If you are, I feel sorry for you. Amen? It ain't been that long since this lunch. You need to wake up. My goodness. Being a church member doesn't only require you to submit to other people. It requires you to set aside your American pride. That's the third time I said it. That's right. The trend in American churches is that of dwindling membership, where there is Bible preaching and a proper view of the ordinance, a trend to increase significantly any biblical church leaders and church disciplines, and it's like injecting the trend of steroids. When you are taught church discipline properly, when you are taught salvation by grace properly, when you are taught that Christ started a church and it was a Baptist church,
amen.
When you understand what baptism is, Jesus, my Savior, walked 60 miles to be baptized. Why? That was the only man at that time period that had scriptural right to baptize, and that was John the Baptist.
Amen.
There were priests, there were all kinds of people that he could have been ducked, but he walked 60 miles to get scriptural baptism.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, I would join y'all's church, but I've been sprinkled and y'all won't accept sprinkling. You haven't been baptized. You may have been sprinkled, but you wasn't baptized.
Right.
How are they going to hear that if somebody don't preach it? Folks, I love freedom. I love my country. I thank God that I live in America. It saddens me when I watch on a newscast, and they interviewed young people, says out of college. Do you think America is the best place to live in the world? No, I don't. How could anybody that graduated from any kind of college say that? You want to know how? The professors teach it. They teach it. Anybody been to college the last 3, 4, 5 years? Took any civic classes, any college classes, any history classes? The professors teach it. And we're sending our kids to school to learn to believe that America is not the best country in the world to live in. And as soon as I say that, I'll go down and draw my welfare check. That's how it's done. And we're afraid to speak up. It's high time that we as American believers that believe in Jesus Christ stop allowing our freedom to make us proud and self-reliant. I don't know about you, church, but I say this because it's the way I feel. I need my Savior every day.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not ashamed that I couldn't make it. I would hate to see my life if He left me for 1 week. I'd hate to see that. I need him. And the more I study this old black book, the more I find out how he wants me to live. And as I watched that charade on TV a couple, 3 days down in Tennessee, I listened to men that hold office that are not God-fearing Americans.
Amen.
They are ignorant of the Constitution. They are ignorant how the government is ran.
Right.
And if we stand up against them, we're bigots. We don't love. Well, brother, let me tell you, if I die tonight, you can put on my coffin, I died an American citizen. I died a Baptist believer. And I died a proud member of the Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'm glad to be an American. And that group to the left does not represent the America that I serve. The average church does not represent the church that Jesus built. And if I'm wrong, I'll die and go to glory being wrong. I don't believe I'm wrong. I believe Christ started the church, and the very Baptist doctrines that this church stands for is what the First Baptist Church, because I got it from them.